Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Salary Report. This is Catherine Austin Fitz. It's May 24th in the United States and May 25th in Sydney, Australia, where I'm sitting with entrepreneur and environmental scientist Jason Bawden-Smith. For those of you who've been members of the Salary Report, you know that Jason has done two really special Salary Reports with us. One on his book called Making Waves about entrepreneurship, and the other we did more recently on his book In the Dark about EMF radiation. And Jason has continued to go deeper in terms of research and writing about EMF radiation, and has now launched a new website, EMF Warriors. And I wanted him to join us today to talk about what work he's been doing since and why he's made the decision to launch such an important new website and global network, EMF Warriors. So, Jason, welcome to the Salary Report.
Thank you so much, Catherine. Welcome to our fabulous city. And g'day to all the Salary members. So great to be back on.
Okay, so the last time we spoke, you had just published In the Dark. So tell us what happened and what the response has been.
So the response to In the Dark has been good. It's not a bestseller, but it has been quite popular, and I think we've sold a few thousand. I haven't spoken to my publisher recently. Quite popular in America, more so than in my home country. When I wrote In the Dark, initially I thought I was better placed setting up a business focusing on technology solutions to counteract the onslaught that we're getting from these harmful EMFs. So I was looking at different technologies like Blue Shield and the Quantlet and some Russian technologies. And what happened as I was speaking on different podcasts and radio shows, in my home country, I was invited down to ABC Studios on a program that goes nationally where they were going to debate my book. They were bringing in a professor to discuss what I'm saying and challenge me. And I was so looking forward to it. So I came back early from holidays, and I was on my way to the studio, and I get this call from a publisher going, "Oh, it's been cancelled." What do you mean it's been cancelled? And she said, "Well, you're a commercial guy and you can't go on government-sponsored radio." And I said, "Well, that's not true. They have lots of commercial guys on there. Everyone's promoting books and discussing things." I said, "What's the real reason?" So she ran back and she dug deep. And the real reason, which I shouldn't say publicly, but let's just say the person who was going to debate me decided it wasn't such a good idea. I think he did his homework and realized that I had the credibility to actually put the case forward for why we should be addressing this, and the show was canned. So I said to myself, what does my country and maybe even the world need? Do they really need another business, or do they need a spokesperson? Do they need someone to lead and articulate the benefits and the harmful effects of EMF? And after speaking to my advisors, including you and several others, I was so well placed to be a spokesperson, like an accidental spokesperson. It's not what I do. I'm a business guy. Sure, I've got two environmental science degrees, but really I'm a business guy. But luckily enough, I have enough money coming from my environmental company, and I don't have any operational role anymore, so I could devote myself to this issue. So when you want to go deep into something, you've really got to define the problem. So I spent even more energy trying to understand the two areas of concern. Now, those who understand EMF know it's a very complex issue. We start at one end of the spectrum where we've got the sun and DC currents and all the natural frequencies from Mother Earth and plants and ourselves. Then we go into all the ultra-low frequencies that we start using for FM, AM radio, and then we move into radar, and then we go up the scale into all the gadgets we use, all the Wi-Fi signals, the radio frequencies, the microwaves. Then we get into the complex of light, visible and invisible light, and then we go up the spectrum into X-rays, eventually heading all the way up to cosmic rays and galactic forces. So to understand that's the spectrum that you have to understand and how it impacts biology is very difficult. So I spent a lot of time looking at what are the fields that affect us and how they affect us. So there's two disciplines that we're going to mention today, and we're doing the Cliff Notes. The reason we're doing the Cliff Notes is that we have currently 16 callers waiting to ask questions, so we're not going to dive deep into each subject. So the first discipline is a new one called quantum biology. Quantum biology is going subatomic into the realms of cells, diving right deep and understanding how they operate and the impact of light. Light physics is now become known as the way in which all our biochemical processes are regulated. And we'll get into that a little bit more. So you had to get into quantum biology, and then we had to get into the technology. So I needed an RF engineer, the electronic engineers, the guys who understand the 5G technology, and not only understand it, but know how to test it, and more importantly, know how to mitigate it. So it hit me, I said, we need a global movement. If we're actually going to make a difference here, we literally need an army of concerned citizens who are going to come together, be well-educated, and then do what they need to protect themselves. And when they learn how to protect themselves, their children, their loved ones, then they'll take it into the workplace. And once we start progressing into the workplace, I think we'll see some real change. So I don't have all those skills. I'm not a quantum biologist, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not an electronic engineer. So I recruited two people I hold in great respect, a guy called Scott Compton, who's a quantum biologist. He used to work Stanford University in biology and as a lab guy. He understands quantum biology better than most. He's the star student of Dr. Jack Kruse. We may mention Dr. Jack Kruse, K-R-U-S-E. We will put these links in the show notes.
The links are already in the subscriber
list. Oh, great. Okay. So Dr. Jack Kruse is probably the best person who has brought together all the information on light physics, quantum biology, and a range of medical. He's a neurosurgeon, so this is a brain doctor, and he has his own problems with living in a modern world, and he went back to Russian, actually went back to the Russian literature to understand it all,
right. Got
it all translated. This is 15 years ago, and has put it all together on a website called Dr. Jack Kruse. And if you're interested, he's got a great forum, and you can join as a member and dive really deep. One word of warning, it's very technical.
Right.
He's a medical doctor, so if you don't have a biochemistry background, so you've got the two hardest subjects at university, you've got becoming a doctor and a quantum physicist.
Right.
So they're very difficult subjects to understand. So I would recommend anyone go and listen to his podcast and read his LinkedIn articles to get a good grounding. And you can find them through EMF Warriors Library. Because the other thing we needed a resource, an area where people could go to get curated content. So Scott and I, a lovely lady called Jamie Ann, who's a co-founder of EMF Warriors, she's a nurse and really into mitochondria and biology, and other people who are helping us put together, I think there's 2,000 articles, presentations, interviews, podcasts, all curated through EMF Warriors website. So it's a great resource to go and research. So I'd go there. The next person I needed was the engineer. So I found Australia's best testing and mitigation expert. Now, he is electrosensitive himself, severely electrosensitive. So he can test all his mitigation on himself. So we've brought those experts together under EMF Warriors, and I'm just using the same approach I use for building a company. So identifying the problem, really defining it, developing the solutions, bringing in the people that have the skills and expertise that I don't to build the team, and then put it out in a format. It's all digital in a way which people can access. Now, I know you don't like the word Facebook, but unfortunately, that's what we're using for community development, mainly because that's what people love to do. EMF Warriors is a global movement. It's not a company. It's not a charity. It's just an idea I had that I'm putting together. We may turn it into a company down the track, depending on what happens. But for now, it's just a group of people who really care and want to do the right thing and help each other out and then take it to the world. So emfwarriors.com is that website. So you want to dive into a little bit about mitochondria.
So before we do that, I want to just step back. So what happened within the dark was you kept on learning and you saw that there was a need to pull together all the intelligence and the sources of intelligence into a living network.
Correct.
Okay. And so that's what you're doing with EMF Warriors, creating this living network that's trying to understand both the human biology and how it relates to the technology and what that means and what we can do about it.
Perfectly. Okay. Perfectly.
Okay. So I think when you wrote In the Dark, you didn't realize, you still hadn't realized the full ramifications of what 5G could mean to the human race.
Well, 5G was hardly mentioned when I was doing the initial research.
Right.
So it's only really come about in recent times. So yeah, you're right. And the more you dig into this issue,
right,
the more concerned you get.
Right.
I mean, it really is gets to a stage where you go, oh my goodness, this world is totally out of control.
Because I remember when you were writing In the Dark, I knew how concerned you were.
Mm-hmm.
But after you published In the Dark and after we did the Salieri report on In the Dark and I kept talking to you, you sounded much more concerned even then. So this is, you know, I hate to sound like Ed Sullivan, but this is really, really big. This is important.
To me, it's the number one environmental health threat on the planet.
Right.
And now, I'm an environmental scientist.
Right.
I've been studying the impact of the environment on human health for 30, 40 years.
Right.
You know, I'm a founder of the biggest environmental company, consultancy company in Australia.
Right.
We have 100 scientists and engineers running around looking at all the different contaminants.
Right.
And unfortunately, we don't work on this issue at all because we're not allowed to.
Right.
The government just doesn't want anyone
messing
testing
with it.
Like even in the US, they stopped testing for EMF in 1979. They don't record any readings.
Right. Well, if I go to the city town council, which I have, and try and oppose a cell tower, you're not allowed to mention health.
Not at all.
In a municipal context.
Yeah, so in 1996, I think it's the Telecoms Safety Act or the Telecoms Act.
Yeah.
I think it's Section 704. Where they've written in the word environment and the judges or the magistrates, you have a different legal system to us in Australia. We have the British system. But they have interpreted environment to include human health. That actually hasn't been challenged, and I think the lawyers listening could look into that. So you can't mention anything about health. You can't make any claim that you're suffering from anything. And if they have their way with the new legislation they're trying to run out at state and local level, you won't be able to object to a cell, these little 5G small cells being put in your front yard, like right at a light post outside of your house.
So you say this is more important than tobacco, more important. This is a bigger environmental problem than asbestos.
Mm-hmm.
This is our number one environmental problem. And we know the insurance companies have already copped out of this one.
Yeah.
So the insurance companies have literally, as a legal matter, been waived out of any exposure or liability on this. So this is arguably the most important environmental risk we all face.
So how can we make that claim? Because that's a really big claim to make. And you can't make a big claim without massive evidence.
Okay, so let's dive into the biology.
So the reason I'm concerned is that you have an invisible contaminant that no one can see, smell, hear, or touch.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can feel it, and the electrosensitive people can feel it. That's affecting us at a cellular level.
Right.
So a lot of the research has shown the voltage-calcium channels. So you've got excessive calcium being generated from these cells, so they're getting vibrated. So they're like getting little mini, very subtle electrical kind of shocks, and they're stressed, and they're releasing this extra calcium, and that's causing all these free radicals, and that's going to lead to the cancers and all the other effects.
Right.
But the area that is new, that hasn't really been studied, which I'm more concerned about, is the effect on mitochondria.
Okay.
So most people know mitochondria as being the powerhouse of the cell. It's where our energy comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens when you turn the energy off? You die. That's it. Lights are off. There's nothing going on. So we can understand why mitochondria are really important. What we don't know is there are two forms of DNA in the human body, two separate genomes. You've got the nuclear genome, the double helix that we all taught about at school, and we get those genes from mum and dad. And then we have a second genome, which is the mitochondrial DNA. Now, most people don't know it's actually a totally separate DNA that you only get from your mother.
Uh-huh.
That's the key thing. To look into the science of mitochondria, the best guy is Dr. Doug Wallace. The link will be there. He's the guy who discovered this 30 years ago, but he's been doing more and more research with his colleagues and other people, and now they're coming out and saying 80% of all modern disease is due to mitochondrial damage,
right?
Not genome DNA damage.
Right.
Now, that's a massive piece of information. So all our modern diseases, whether it be cancer, heart disease, all the neurodegenerative diseases of the brain, autoimmune, ADHD, you go on and on and on. Most of the diseases today are to do with what they call heteroplasmy, which is the degrading of mitochondria within the cell. So you have thousands of mitochondria in each cell.
Right.
The most mitochondria you have is in your brain, your heart, and then it's either your stomach or your liver. So where are all the diseases, the modern diseases coming from? The brain, heart, and then cancer.
The gut.
And the gut. And, right. And liver. And cancer is spread throughout the whole body depending on where your immune system, you know, is weakest. So here we have a finding that mitochondria is the source of all modern disease. How is it healthy? How do we keep mitochondria healthy? How does it actually work?
Mm-hmm.
So mitochondria work with, and I don't want to get too technical, because if there's any medical students out there, they will tell you that what gave them nightmares during their study was understanding mitochondria. It's a very complex subject. But in essence, you have five respiratory proteins along the inner membrane of the mitochondria.
Uh-huh.
And they're called cytochromes. And electrons go from cytochrome 1, 2, 3, 4 to 5. And 5 is the ATP phase. So we've heard of ATP as that's the generation of energy. It's like a spinning top that spins and creates the energy as we're getting more and more electrons through that transport chain. So when we're exposed to non-native EMF, that is sources that our biology has not evolved with.
Right.
Right. So these are all
so
the
right. Unnatural.
Unnatural, man-made, right. Artificial.
Right.
They, and that includes blue light as well, like all the artificial lights as well. It's
right.
Not just your Wi-Fi and your cell phones. They cause those respiratory proteins to separate. So they measure it in angstroms, which is a tiny, tiny, tiny little movement, but every time, every angstrom, you separate each of those cytochromes, those respiratory proteins, you reduce the electron transport by 10 times.
Right.
So the ATP at the end spins slower.
Right.
So the further you separate those respiratory proteins, eventually your ATP can't spin. And when it doesn't spin anymore, you get a mutant mitochondria. And the more of these mutant mitochondria you have within each cell, the higher your, what they call your heteroplasmy rate. So as your heteroplasmy rates go up, your energy comes down.
Right.
And eventually, they die.
Right.
And once the mitochondria stop producing, your cell dies because it hasn't got energy anymore.
Right.
So that's a real basic 101 thing of mitochondria. So how do we get those respiratory proteins to stay close together and those electrons to keep pumping through to get more energy? So there's two sources of electrons. There's one from food.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's focused on food, aren't they? They like, you know, fats and carbs and lipids and vitamins and this, that and the other. It's all broken down to electrons. Doesn't matter where your food comes from, it gets broken down to electrons and put through this chain. Now, what we're finding with this science is that 2/3 of those electrons should come from nature.
Right.
And only 1/3 from food.
Right.
We do the opposite. We take about 90% from food and we hardly ever go out into nature anymore.
Right.
So what the ancients and the elders And even now, the kind of spiritual crowd about getting back to nature, they knew, we all know. Like, right. How good do you feel when you go to the beach
right.
or walk in the park? You
right.
feel great.
Right.
Because you're getting these natural photons from the sun, electrons from the ground. That's why you need to take your shoes off when you walk. And they are feeding
right.
your mitochondria.
Right.
That's why you're feeling energized and feeling great.
Right.
But instead, we get up in the morning, go to work, spend all day in the office, surrounded by all these artificial EMFs, we feel crap.
Right.
We feel tired, exhausted.
Right.
And our mitochondria are slowly dying, so we age quicker and
right.
we live much less healthy than we ever would
right.
if we didn't understand this. So that's why I'm concerned, because we're addicted to indoor living and gadgets and we've forgotten how important nature is. So that's part A. And then you've got part B on how are we going to live in this world, this digital connected world that we're creating, and keep our health. And
right.
that is the question that we're going to talk about today in depth.
So let me ask you something, because you've talked about electromagnetically sensitive individuals.
Mm.
Are they just feeling the damage? Mm. And or are they... What's the difference between somebody who's sensitive and not? Are they just more aware of it?
No. They actually have physical symptoms.
Right.
So there's a scale. The most affected sensitive people will have heart palpitations.
Mm-hmm.
They will have tendonitis, a ringing in the ear.
Right.
They could have burning on the skin.
Right.
Like rashes as well. They could have lots of symptoms that would be misdiagnosed as common colds or just general malaise or fatigue and other things like that. So it's very
right.
hard to pinpoint.
Right.
But what they notice is when they get into fields with high EMF, artificial EMF, their symptoms exacerbate. Like Scott, who's our quantum biologist, he had problems with his eyes. His eyes would actually bleed.
Right.
So it depends on the individual. But you soon know that as soon as you start getting close to the Wi-Fi router or to your cell phone, your symptoms get worse.
Right.
But that's only 1% to 3% of the population, which is
right.
a lot.
Right.
And then there's the mild and then the moderate people who won't feel it and won't even know they're getting exposed. That's why we like to test
right.
the environment.
And that's one thing you constantly underscore is the importance of testing.
Well, it's invisible. So
right.
how do you fight an invisible enemy?
Right.
You have to make them visible.
Right.
And we do that through meters.
Now, one thing we're not going to spend a lot of time on today, but the impact on, to me, the impact of on adults is different in a sense than from children and babies, because
mm-hmm.
babies and children don't have their skull or their body
mm-hmm.
fully formed.
Well, there's several reasons why children are more at risk from all contaminants, not just EMF.
Right.
That is because just they're underdeveloped, their blood-brain barrier is not developed, their immune system's not as sophisticated. You know, one of the most concerning things I see, and it just pains me, you see a mother with a newborn child, say a few weeks old, and mothers will know that when a baby comes out, they've got like a cone-shaped head, like an arrow, so it actually
uh-huh.
comes out the vagina properly. It can take several weeks for that cranial cap to flatten out and round and form. So they'll be there breastfeeding a child with the phone right next to the child's head, texting away or talking or doing whatever they have.
Right.
It's just horrific. It really is. If they really understood
right.
how much EMF is coming off that phone into their baby and to themselves, they'll be shocked.
Right. So let's talk about 5G, because 5G is something. 5G isn't rolled out yet.
Well, it's being trialed.
It's being trialed. Okay, so what is 5G?
Okay, so to understand 5G, what does the G stand for? It stands for generation. So we started off with 1G, which is the analog systems we had. The original, they used to call them the old bricks. They were kind of like 30 centimeters big and really chunky. They were basically analog phones out in the 80s. Then we moved to 2G in the early 90s, and that started voice and texting. And then in 2001, we went to 3G. Now, the third generation allowed much better voice. It put us online, connected us to the internet, But things were really slow. Uh-huh. Everyone will remember that I wanted to watch that YouTube video and it wouldn't stream because it just wouldn't go fast enough and everyone got frustrated.
Right.
So then in 2010, and it's all really recent, right? A lot of people don't understand. This is really recent. 2010, we brought out 4G. So 4G allowed us to watch those videos. It allowed us to connect to the cloud and our phones essentially became a computer.
Right.
Very similar to your laptop or your desktop.
Right.
So that's gone pretty well in terms of the technology. It works really well. People are most happy with it. We've got the broadband capabilities. What's happened? Everyone's fallen in love with their gadgets. So we now have billions of gadgets all connected to the internet via this wireless communications, whether it's Wi-Fi or whether it's through our cell towers. The spectrum in which 4G was developed isn't saturated. So it can't really handle a lot more gadgets. So they need to open more spectrum. The other thing in play is that Mr. Global, as we can talk about here on this radio program, is hell-bent on connecting everyone and everything.
Right.
People call it the Internet of Things. I call it the Internet of Everything because that's what they really want. So to be able to connect, I think the goal is 25 billion devices connected by 2020. They need to have 5G rolled out. So they're going to a higher spectrum. And we'll get into the technology in a little bit. So the 5G needs to be faster, probably 10,000 times faster, to achieve what they need to achieve. And why is that? Think about the autonomous cars.
Right.
So the sensors on the cars, they're moving.
Right.
So we need to have really, really fast, sharp feedback so we don't smash into the car in front of us.
Right.
So it's got to be about 10,000.
Redundant. It's got to be redundant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the latency, that's what we call latency. So speed, latency, and reliability really has to improve. So we're getting to the higher frequency of the spectrum. We're going from megahertz to gigahertz. What's a hertz? It's a cycle per second. So when we're getting to gigahertz, we're talking a billion cycles for every second. So we're getting up to energy levels which are very high. They're untested, untried, they're military grade, and they're being rolled out across the residential areas of America, Australia, and most countries right now. So there's four main technologies they need to do to pull this off. One's called millimeter waves. They don't travel very far. They're very high frequency, but they don't travel very far. So when they hit buildings, when they hit plants and people, they're absorbed.
Right.
So they have to go to small cells. So we're used to these big towers that send out, you know, omnidirectional waves and carrier waves for all the frequencies. Because it doesn't travel very far and it hits a building, it stops. They have to start putting these small cells everywhere. We don't know exactly how many and how they're going to do it because there's no standards.
Right.
They haven't worked it out yet. But imagine every third light pole on your street having a little cell tower, and they'll be the size of, well, they'll vary and we don't know exactly, but they could be the size of a little briefcase.
Right, and right now they're trying to legislate that they can do this without local municipalities being able to stop it. Now, one of the issues is, can they literally put it on your property without you being able to stop it?
I doubt it, but they'll be able to put it on the street, which you don't own,
right,
and put it on a lamppost that's 15 meters or feet, as you, I would say,
right,
in America, away from your window.
Right.
So they'll get as close as possible, but I doubt they'll be able to go on your property. But I think most local government and states should be told about what's going on.
I don't think they understand the danger.
Well, no one talks about it.
Right.
No one sat down, put it all together, and put it out there. This is why we're doing the show. And Solari, the reason I love Solari is we're 2 years ahead of everybody else.
Well, what you're talking about doing is you're talking about rolling out something which is totally invasive.
Mm-hmm.
It's a complete surveillance system at the most intimate level,
mm-hmm.
and that can manipulate you at a cellular level.
Mm-hmm.
So it can collect intelligence, and it can manipulate you at an energetic level, and it can mind control you. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on mind control today, but I put up some of the related Soleri reports on this issue. So we're talking about something that can be overlaid with addictive technology that can literally manipulate you and your mood and the mood of the people around you.
Yes, and way, way worse.
Right.
And we don't want to go into all the dark side of this because it's bad enough just knowing what we know now.
Right.
What we need to talk about a little bit is how this is going to be rolled out, and the reason it's being rolled out is our fault. Why is it our fault? Because we buy the gadgets.
Right.
If we didn't buy the gadgets, we wouldn't need 5G.
Right.
So we line up. You go to an Apple store when this new Apple 8 comes out, the iPhone 8 comes out, it'll be a mile long.
Right.
People lining up to get it.
Right.
So they're just feeding. Now, they may be encouraging us to buy it through mind control and advertising and other things, but we love it.
Right.
Everyone loves their gadget. I love my gadget. I love technology. So we need to take some level of responsibility ourselves rather than just pointing the finger all the time. But I want people to understand that their ultimate goal is to roll out a trillion sensors around the globe. So you've got sensors that will do video surveillance, traffic flow, motion, facial recognition, a whole range of sensors, literally all the human senses except for feel. They'll never be able to feel. That's only a pure human thing.
Right.
They can see, they can smell, they can hear, and even touch. There's new technology coming out for touch. So that feeds into intelligent devices. So those intelligent devices are your smart meters, your smart appliances, you know, smart thermostats, and all these other smart gadgets that feed back into the smart meter that allow the smart home, so these connected ecosystems. So we go from sensors to devices to ecosystems. So think of your home where your toaster, your oven, your fridge, washing machine, TV, go on and on and on. They are all feeding back information to your smart meter that's then going to the smart grid, and whoever's controlling that is just surveilling you on everything you do.
Right.
They'll know everything about you.
Right.
They'll know when your milk needs to be purchased.
Right.
It's amazing the level of depth of information. So that's gone to the smart grid, and the smart grids are feeding smart buildings. So all the buildings will communicate to each other. The cars will start communicating to the lights, the lampposts. So we're going to have this connected ecosystem. Now, just think of all the artificial EMF that's just glowing.
Right.
If you could see it, it would be glowing. It's like a fire.
Right.
And then they're going to go to hyperconnectivity, and they're going to power up the whole grid, like across the country. They're going to have everything connected everywhere, and this is going to be insane. There's a lot of great things you can do with that connectivity in terms of productivity,
mm-hmm.
in terms of convenience.
But what does it do to your body? What does it do to your physical strength?
So we've seen the increase of modern disease from 1990 to 2015 go up hundreds, if not thousands of percent. So we're on an exponential increase of modern diseases from 4G.
Right.
Once we get to 5G, and we go from a billion sensors to a trillion sensors, the implications are so horrific I can't even mention them. So all the things we have now, like everyone I know is sick. Every second person you know has got a heart problem, it's got cancer, it's got, you know, dementia. Like there's children with dementia now, right?
Right.
There's toddlers with diabetes.
Right. Right.
They're all mitochondrial related. It's all because we're living indoors in a connected artificial environment under blue light. And we don't get out to nature. And we're going to talk about solutions soon because we're getting...
So when does the wave of disease create the feedback that where people realize something is really wrong. We're dealing with this invisible technology, and it's causing serious problems.
Okay, so 5G hasn't rolled out yet.
Right.
So, and I don't know the answer. I'm not a doctor, and, right. and this is, you know, it's very hard to predict the future. But if I was to have a guess, if 5G was rolled out, say we're now 2025, I think we'll be at epidemic levels.
So the goal is to have 5G rolled out at 2020 in the big urban areas?
That's the goal. The problem they have, and we can talk about it in the business section you're going to do in a minute, they're all fighting amongst themselves to who gets control. So what I don't like about that is that they're all rolling out their stuff at different frequencies, trying to take market share. The cable guys, the tower guys are all kind of competing. So we're getting hit with everything in the trial areas right now.
Right.
And we can talk about some of those areas we know about. So they're getting hit now. So I can expect diseases to start increasing exponentially in those areas over the next few years. It's going to take a little bit of time. And even when it's recognized, they'll blame something else. You know, it's this, it's that, the other. They won't ever admit it's EMF because they can't.
Well, and the insurance companies have opted out.
Yeah.
Right.
And all the telcos are buying the media companies now.
Right.
So they control the loop.
Right. So you have telecom, you have cable, you have the tower guys, and you've got media. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you look at the, let's take any dense area. On one hand, you have legislators and the legal system fighting tremendously about how to provide for healthcare. Healthcare is exploding as a percent of the GNP. So in 20 or 30 years ago in the United States, healthcare was 7% of GNP. Today, it's approaching 19%, and that's part of the political problem. And so at the same time, you have the healthcare system and the budgets grappling with how are we going to pay for all this modern disease. We're putting something in that's going to turbocharge that modern disease. Mm-hmm. And we're going to put it into a system where we know the number one form of growth in warfare is cybersecurity. And what we're discovering is all of these systems are not trustworthy, but now we're going to drive our cars on them. And you look at this and you think, Jason, something has to give because we can't cope with the feedback loop now, whether it's the security of systems or the health of systems. And now you're going to turbocharge the insecurity and the absence of health. How is this going to work?
It can't. It'll work for a little while and then it'll implode.
I don't know.
It can't work long term.
Okay, but every Soleri Report subscriber is sitting in the middle of this war. And, you know, these waves are going to come at us like a tsunami. What do we do?
Well, first of all, it's already hit us.
Right.
That's first of all. Well, everyone's already sick.
Right.
We're going to get sicker and quicker.
Right.
So what are we going to do?
Right.
There's lots of things we can do.
Well, should we talk about... let me just talk about the money for a second because, you have... I've really tried to understand what are the economics of 5G, and we haven't brought up virtual reality. I want to talk about that too. And what are the economics of virtual reality? And I can't figure it out. And the reason I can't figure it out is the whole... You essentially have a system that lacks integrity, and their plan is to double down, mm-hmm. is just to come out with something far more powerful, far more intense, and they have no plans that I can tell to deal with the integrity issues. And, you know, so it's a huge double down, and I don't see how this works. So I can't figure out the economics because the economics don't make sense because the fundamental industry doesn't make sense. Yeah. But I know this, what you're doing is you're combining your delivery system with technology that's highly addictive, and in the middle of this, you're trying to plop in your currency. So you're trying to create a digital cashless currency that is dependent on this very integration that we're talking about. And you're literally, you know, you're putting our mitochondria completely at war with the central bankers is the only way I can describe it. So why don't we just, before we talk about how we deal with it, let's just dive in for a second, talk a little bit about virtual reality. What is virtual reality? Where does that fit in?
So there's two forms. There's one called VR, virtual reality, and the other one called augmented reality. These are like goggles you put on your face.
Right.
And you will then be taken, in the case of virtual reality, into a cartoon land, onto the holodeck of Star Trek, where everything is not real.
Right.
But you get to create the reality that you desire.
Right.
And all the kids and people who are addicted to games are now playing it in real life. It's not real. They think it's real.
But the other thing is the blue light, the EMF, is right on your... It's attached to your head, and it's much more invasive than if you're playing a video game on a screen, right?
Yeah, it's like putting your cell phone on your eyes while you're playing. It's what you're doing.
Right.
So you're getting blinded by all the artificial light, and you're getting bombarded by all these really high frequencies, because to play VR and get the feedback, you're in 5G land or getting close to it.
Right.
So you're getting a lot more frequencies, a lot quicker. I've been playing with them a little bit at conferences. The biggest problem they tell me they've got with them is that they can only wear them for 45 minutes. And the reason most people can only wear them for 45 minutes is you imagine all these little mitochondria screaming inside your head going, please take it off, take it off. And the pain is too much, so, and it's too uncomfortable, so they can only wear them for about 45 minutes.
Jesus.
Augmented reality is being half in reality and half in virtual reality.
So it's like the Pokemon games where you're walking along with your phone and it's showing you, you know, comic characters in the pathway.
Oh, it's much more real than that.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, we've got to keep it short, and we could rave all day. Maybe we'll do a show on VR. It's very cool. It's heaps of fun.
Well, I always take everybody to the Magic Leap website where they show the whale jumping out of the...
And that's like a hologram more than VR. But being in VR, like, have you ever watched Star Trek and look at the holodeck, which is an artificial reality where you get to interact with people, talk to people, play with people.
So we could have conference calls together.
Well, yeah. You could be in the US, I could be in Sydney, and I would have an avatar, like a hologram, appear at the boardroom table, and we would have a virtual conference room.
Right.
And you would see me.
So there's some great business applications.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, they're not doing this technology because it doesn't work.
Right.
It's amazing.
Right.
And you know, I think we should be allowed to have technology. And the key solution to this for me, to making it safe, I think we know how.
Right.
And they just don't want to do it because it's too expensive. So I'm not going to go into the details on this podcast, and maybe we'll do it another day. But if we, at the moment, there's kind of single frequencies that pulsate. So an antenna can actually get to a receiver. So the cell tower can get to your cell phone and your cell phone back to the receiver. So it's pulsating. Boom, 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 boom. If they overlaid the frequencies of nature, which we know how to capture and code and put onto a chip, and add that to the frequencies they're using currently, then our body would be showered with a waterfall.
Right.
And that one frequency we're communicating with would be ignored.
So we can have all the great technology without the harm.
I believe so.
Right. Because one of my favorite applications is, you know, the educational application where you can bring up the star system in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
And you can look at everything, yeah.
Or if you're teaching heart surgery and you can open the heart and get to the valve and go in deep, and you make sure you make the right incision at the right place, or the education... architecture, construction, it just goes on and on and on. It's fantastic, fantastic technology, and we should be able to use it.
Right.
We just need to make it safe.
Right. Yeah, because one thing you and I have to confess is we're both technology junkies.
Totally. I love it.
Okay, so let's talk about the day in the life, because what I want to make sure is that our subscribers know how to go through their daily life and protect themselves.
Okay, so we know how to maintain our mitochondria by getting as much nature as we can and minimizing our artificial frequencies.
So sunlight.
All right, so let's go to nature.
Okay.
So let's go through my day. This is my typical day. Now, everyone's different. Everyone's situation is different. So I'm not saying everyone adopt what I do, but this is what I do. And it's all I can talk about is my experience. So as soon as I wake, which is always with the birds, as soon as the birds start chirping, the sun start rising, I get up because that's when... Get up with the sun.
Right.
Our circadian biology is designed to get up and be in the cycle of nature. That's how we're designed. So let's do it, people.
Right.
I get up and I've got a wonderful balcony where the sun comes in and I sit there for about half an hour. Whenever I can, I take as many clothes off as I can. The reason being, it's not just the UV receptors and IR receptors we have in our eye, which are real.
Mm-hmm.
Our skin is like a solar panel.
Right.
So we want to get as many of these natural frequencies onto our skin as well.
You want to take in as much vitamin D as possible.
Well, no, vitamin D won't happen in the morning.
Oh, okay.
That won't happen in the morning. So we'll get to that in a minute. So we're getting our circadian rhythms in sync with nature. We're getting our biology working like it's meant to.
Okay.
If you're going to do 5 minutes, do 5 minutes.
Okay.
I also drink about 1.5 liter of spring water, mountain spring water. I won't go into the water story, but the best quality water you can get, you should be drinking.
Right.
Americans have great mountain spring water.
Right.
Drink that.
They do.
And the reason we need to have very good hydration is... If you put a piece of meat, you warm up your dinner in a microwave, what happens to the meat?
Dehydrated.
Yeah, it turns to leather. What are we doing? We're running around in a microwave oven. That's what we've created for ourselves.
Right.
So we're all chronically dehydrated. And if you test for your, it's called your BUN, bun creatinine level, when you do your blood test, you'll see that most people on this program are dehydrated.
Right.
So I start with 1.5 liters of water before I do anything else. That's a lot of water for a lot of people, and I'm a big guy, so you don't have to drink as much as me. But you should drink a good few glasses of water in the morning so you start off hydrated. I then have to go to work, like most people, and I work in the EMF sewer of Sydney.
Right.
And so do most people. They don't realize it's a sewer. It's an invisible sewer of these fields. So in the blog that I've just written for this program, it's on EMF Warriors, and I think it's linked in the show notes.
It's linked in the show notes.
I know I'm going to get a dose of EMF on the way to work, whether I drive or whether I get on the ferry or the bus.
Mm-hmm.
If I drive, my car has a lot of EMF.
Right.
And all the cars around me do. All modern cars are riddled with EMF. They just are. They're inbuilt. It's not just Tesla.
Right.
It's all of them. All the modern cars, all the new cars. So you're driving past cell towers and you're just getting hit. So I can't do anything about that artificial EMF. I can't mitigate it. It's impossible for me to mitigate. And if I'm on a train or a bus, I can't do anything about the neighbour using, you know, the person sitting next to me using their cell phone. So the only thing I've got left is use a technology.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying this technology has long-term data to show it works. I just don't know. We have good anecdotal data. You use it, I use it, many of my friends use it, and we like it. Some people don't, so I don't want to, you know, push it that hard, but I need something. So I turn on a portable Blue Shield, and I have that on in my car or on me if I'm on the ferry or the bus.
Yeah, I travel with a portable Blue Shield.
So that's how we get around that. Now, the other thing I do is I like lots of sun whenever I can. So if I'm driving, I have a sunroof. I open the sunroof right up. If I didn't have a sunroof, I'd open the window.
Right.
Because I want to let the light in. Right. Outside light has to come inside as much as possible.
Right.
So I'm now spending 8 or 10 hours in an office that is surrounded by cell towers. There are thousands and thousands of people with cell phones. There's Wi-Fi everywhere. It's just an EMF sewer. Again, I can't do much about that. In the big scheme of things, I can do little things about it. So I've got a big blue shield for the office for everyone to get some protection. And then for the fluorescent lights, I've actually got full spectrum fluorescent lights, which aren't perfect, but they're better than the cheaper kind of really intense lights that you use. And then I have a switch. I turn off the lights wherever I can inside my office. Some people can't do that. Usually can't open a window. Some people don't even have windows, so it's very hard to get natural light in. So I'll go outside. We used to call it smoko breaks when we all smoked.
Right.
Now we have sunlight breaks.
Right.
And if you're going to eat lunch, eat it outside. Go to the park, take your shoes off.
Yeah.
Take your shoes off so you're getting the grounding, because you've got the electrical charge building up and so on your body from all the electricity you're getting and all the EMF.
Right. So if I take my socks off and put my feet on the dirt, what does that do?
So it basically, the earth has an ability to bring your body into a natural state of electromagnetic status.
Right.
So if you've got too much electrons and protons, it'll balance it out. If you've got too little, it'll give you some.
Okay, so in our documentary that we put up for this Soleri Report, Resonance Beings of Frequency, talks about the Schumann resonance. Does that have anything to do with the Schumann resonance?
Schumann resonance is tied up. Schumann resonance is about 7.84 hertz. It's the natural frequencies of the planet. It has something to do with it, but it's more to do with how the electrons... How the Earth just normally has its natural state of being,
right,
which we're totally connected to.
Right.
Without Mother Earth, we would not be here.
Right.
We are so dependent on her and Father Sun, and we've forgotten that.
Right.
We've been disconnected.
Right.
And we've got to tap back in. So after work, I come home, and usually it's sunset. So I want to make up for the lost infrared rays that I've missed, which you can get at sunset. You can get UVA and IR through the whole day, but I will take an infrared sauna, a low EMF infrared sauna, and that will help balance out my missing frequencies.
Right.
Plus, it's good for your health anyway.
Right.
That's the general daytime. Now, we do lots of things with the equipment. We put shielding around cables. We've got blue light glasses, 50% blue light glasses I wear at work. Because 100%, it's a bit hard to see the screen. So we do other things inside as well. But when we get home, I don't turn the lights on.
Right.
Because my problem's been blue light toxicity. I was being overdosed to indoor living more than the electronics.
Right.
So I don't turn any lights on. I have candles. And I have the only lights I have are these little red lamps that aren't good for reading, but they give you enough to see around the house. If I have to turn the lights on or watch a TV screen or a computer screen, I wear 100% blue blocking glasses.
Okay, it's called 100% blue blocking. So you're blocking the blue light.
Yeah, we'll put a link to another article, which is not up there now, so people can... Because some people wear glasses, like you, and...
But I can wear the 50% or 100% right over the glasses.
You can, but some people can't. They find that uncomfortable. This article will teach you how to make your own tints.
Okay.
So you become self-dependent, independent. So we'll link that the article in the show notes. I'll put it up after this interview. I also make sure I go to bed fairly early.
Right.
So I'm in bed by 10.
Right.
And the reason I do that is...
So you can get up with the sun.
Yeah. And I want people to really understand, if you're looking at a screen at 11 o'clock at night, the color intensity of that screen is so much like midday sun, even more intense. So you're telling your body that it's the middle of the day.
Right.
And they wonder why they're having trouble going to sleep.
Right.
So you need to understand the circadian biology and your melatonin and cortisol cycles.
So it stops the melatonin from being created.
It does. It just ups your cortisol. So cortisol happens in the morning. It wakes you up. It's the hormone that wakes you up and gets you going.
Right.
It keeps it high.
Right.
So you can't go to bed.
Right.
And then people go, well, I'll just read my iPhone and my iPad while I finally fall asleep. And they wonder why it takes them all night to fall asleep. So that brings us to the bedroom. I call that the sleep sanctuary.
Uh-huh.
The sleep sanctuary is so important because melatonin, which you talked about, is 20 times more effective as an antioxidant than vitamin C.
Right.
It's a really important hormone and we need to get it right. So your bedroom should be completely dark. I mean, you shouldn't be able to see your hand.
Right.
So you might need total blackout blinds.
Right.
Because a lot of street lights and neighbor's lights come into through your window. So you've got to block that out. I have, and some people have, circuit boards where you can switch off. So there's no electricity going into the bedroom at all.
Right.
Then you can't plug anything in.
Right.
So your alarm clock, and we're not going to talk about gadgets, but your alarm clock has magnetic fields that you put next to your head are really, really high.
Right.
And magnetic fields are my biggest concern. That they're more concerned with more than 5G signals. So you don't want any electronics. Anyone who has a TV in their room listening to this radio should lose their membership. There is no TV. There's no electronics.
Right.
If you can't block everything out, wear the nightshade you get on the airplanes, the cover-up.
Okay, so I have some more questions for you, Jason, but I want to jump to Q&A.
Yeah.
Because the speed that we're getting thrown off, we want to do that. We've got a lot of links that we put up, and I just want to walk you through those before we go. Okay, so you ready for questions?
Far away.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to ask a question, just press star 2, and our producer, Justin Woods, is going to bring you in, and they're going to unmute you, and you can ask your question, and I'll refer to you by your by your location. So just press star 2 if you have a question. Okay, Anonymous, raise their hands.
Hello.
Hello? Okay.
Oh, okay. I have a question. Thank you for this wonderful show. And it's such an important topic, and it is very interesting to my family. We are all slightly sensitive and can tell when there's a tower or some sort of electromagnetic router or somebody with their cellular on their phone turned on. We also have meters to pay attention to what we're being exposed to. My question for you is about how far away a person would need to move if they didn't want to be exposed to the constant radiation that's on every building. Like, how far do you have to be from a smart meter or a cell tower to have, especially with the 5G rollout?
We don't know the answer for 5G, but as a general rule of thumb, you want to be at least 400 meters. I think that's a quarter of a mile in your units of measure. When it comes to smart meters, you can actually shield them so the signal is pushed in the other direction of your house. Now, you don't want to put it onto your neighbor, but you can put them into the street. So your meter should be able to tell you how far you need to be from things. But when 5G rolls out, and everyone's got so many gadgets and it's just ubiquitous, I'm going rural. I want my nearest neighbor to be a cow or a tree.
Right.
That's how concerned I am.
Well, we don't have a smart meter, but our nearest neighbor, who's probably a couple hundred meters away, does. So are we getting affected by that?
Well, I can't tell from here. I'm on the other side of the world. But if you turn your meter on, you should be able to measure it. You want to be measuring in microwatts per square meter. So you want to mention the RF mode, and you'll be able to tell if you're picking it up. Now, you can put some reflecting shielding. I don't like absorbing material. I prefer to use reflecting material. So you can put some of that material up, which is usually like a silver lined paper, or the best thing to try first is the heat blankets that they put around you when you have hypothermia. They seem to have very good reflecting, and aluminum, I think you call it in America, has good reflecting ability as well. If I want to build a house that's low EMF, I would hire a building biologist or someone who's a very clever electrical engineer, and I would walk around the house with them, testing, understanding what they're doing, and then looking at mitigation, because it's quite complex, and people can spend literally tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, and actually make the problem worse.
Right.
Now, you said, Jason, that there's more and more people who are doing this building biology service?
I think what's happening is people are becoming sensitive,
uh-huh,
and they're starting to research and work this out for themselves, and they're buying better meters, and they're diving deeper, and they're going, wow, I could actually do this as a job.
Right.
And so there is more and more happening. I don't recommend individuals unless I've actually used them myself.
Right.
So I just say go to the just type in building biologists into Google, into your area, and there'll be people. And the questions I would ask is, are they sensitive themselves? What meters do they use? how many people, how many surveys they've done, how much mitigation they've done, what's their references, can they speak to other clients, and just do your normal due diligence when you're hiring any contractor.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Does that answer your question?
Thank you. Yes, okay. Thank you so much.
So, yeah. New York City.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Hi there.
Hi. Yes.
Hi. Great. So my question is, I don't really understand how you could make, how the technology could be done in a healthy way. I heard you mention earlier that there are ways that the EMF doesn't have to be unhealthy. And then I guess the other thing is for somebody who does live in New York City, that we are just bombarded everywhere. And I don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars or even tens of thousands of dollars or even thousands of dollars to help to mitigate this issue. Just any suggestions would be appreciated.
Okay, I'll start with the second question first. You just need to try and maximize your exposure to nature. So as a general rule of thumb, and this information comes from Dr. Jack Cruz, for every 45 minutes you spend in a, let's call it a toxic environment, you need 15 minutes of natural exposure. So you need to go to the park or to the beach or just be outside in the sun for 2 hours every day if you're doing an 8-hour work day. So you want to spend as much time as you can in nature, and that will help balance out any effects. So that's really number one. Number two would be buy a testing meter. Find out what's actually going on in your apartment or your house. You may be lucky because all these towers, they bounce off buildings and they move around, and you only can tell by measuring. So you can buy, I just buy a screening level meter. You can buy a $150 meter up to about a $40,000 meter. I love the cheap one. The cheap one is from, and I've got no interest, and you can buy whatever meter you want to buy, but I like the Cornet E88DT, the Cornet Electrosmog Meter, and I like that because it does all the fields and has a sound button. It's fairly easy to use, and it's pretty reliable. For the price, it's unbelievably reliable. Now, if you want to get into doing a survey that you want to go to court, you need to get a real-time spectrometer, which will cost you tens of thousands of dollars. So just buy a cheap meter, test your house, see what you're dealing with first, and then when you realize what you're dealing with, you can ask questions at our private Facebook group, EMF Warriors. If you ask to join EMF Warriors on Facebook, you can ask questions there, and our number one go-to guy, David Blake, who's a genius at that, could offer some suggestions for you. Or you can hire a professional and have them test your house. $500 well spent. Listen to them, learn from them, and you should be able to find most your house can be made fairly low EMF without too much problem.
Great. And then just how do we push for a healthier version of this technology to be implemented throughout? What would that look like?
That's a fabulous question. I don't have the answer. The first thing, I have arguments with several people in industry, as you could well imagine. And I say, how does an alcoholic, give up alcohol? They admit they've got a problem. If you don't realize you have a problem, you're never going to fix it. So the first thing we need to do is to show people this is real, the effects of real. We've got to get around this issue. It's all nocebo. This is the fancy word they use, that it's all in your head. You're crazy, you're making it up. That's just not true, and we've got so much evidence to prove that's not the case. So we've got to admit we've got a problem. I know there are super smart engineers, biologists, physicists out there who'll fix this much quicker than we realize. But they will not be given any money. They'll not be given any opportunity to address the problem unless we admit we've got one.
Well, the industry clearly knows we have a problem because they got the legislation passed so health couldn't be discussed at the municipal level when dealing with approvals, and the insurance companies wouldn't have opted out unless they knew. So they know.
They know, and they've known for decades.
Right.
They don't want to admit they've got a problem.
Right. Right.
and they've got to admit we have an issue. And I can understand why they're running scared, the liability and all these other issues going on, but we have no choice. Our kids are getting sick.
So one thing I would say in answer to the question, if you look at some of the, you know, in the links to this Solari report and also at EMF Warrior, there's some links to some great experts and videos. And there have been studies that show the damage. And I think the more we can educate people with the, you know, making what is highly technical information about the health impact available to people, the more education we do, I think it's going to help.
Yeah, we're finding more and more famous people coming out and speaking about it now. The daughter of Quincy Jones, the website is jollytalks.com. So this is Jolly Jones. She's the daughter of Quincy, and she's EHS. And she's finally come out and said, right, this happened to me, this is why, and this is what I'm doing about it.
Right.
So as we get more and more famous people, you know, it's like my daughter doesn't listen to me, but as soon as Adele says Wi-Fi is an issue, oh, okay, Adele says so, so I must be interested now. So, yeah, there's lots of ways we have to do it.
Any more questions? Does that answer your question?
Yes, absolutely. Sorry, I was on mute.
Okay, so enjoy, definitely enjoy Central Park. Tyler, Texas.
When you're talking about what can we do, not everybody is as lucky as we are. We have a grassroots organization here, and currently we're almost at the end of our legislative system or our legislative period because we only meet every other year here. I will tell you, though, if you have a good grassroots organization and you have influence, which we do, in your state legislature, I recommend that you go through your state legislature to the best you can, because you are not going to do this on a federal level unless you have enough states saying, we don't like what the federal government is doing and what the federal government is allowing. And we don't really want federal money fixing this problem. We want people that know the answer to this problem being allowed to be heard.
Yeah, that's a very good suggestion. I find the state legislatures to be much more interested, much more aware, and increasingly I think they can get a lot done. So is there any information you want to give us for our Texas subscribers on where to plug in?
Well, Grassroots America, we the people here in Tyler, Texas. Joanne Fleming, our executive director, has now been assisting all kinds of grassroots organizations throughout our state. No out-of-state stuff. She's got no time for that. We all want her here. However, I am telling you, Grassroots America, we the people, Joanne Fleming, if she can't help you through email, you're out of luck.
Okay, I know you guys are getting a lot done, and I really appreciate it. Okay, does that answer your question?
Yeah, ma'am.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody remember, press star 2 if you want to ask a question. If we don't get any more questions, I'm going to start walking us through the links. Now, so let's just start on recommended links. We put up links for A Day in the Life. You wrote at EMF Warriors, you wrote A Day in the Life. And so you lay out what you described in the day in life. So we have a list of writings up as well. And we also have links in the subscriber links of many of the, to Jack Cruz and some of the other doctors, including on quantum biology. And then I wanted to just take a minute and discuss some of the related Solari reports. I mentioned we did Protecting Against EMF Radiation and Making Waves with You, but we also did Dirty Electricity with Samuel Milhelm that gets into the electricity issues. And they have done, the people looking at Dirty Electricity have done an awful lot on the health issues over the last decades. So there's a huge body of knowledge. Then the SLEAR report I try and get everyone to read is the Entrainment Supplemental Programming and Financial Manipulation, because we've been talking about the health impact of EMF radiation. The problem is you're talking about a technology that also delivers entrainment and mind control. And that's, you know, it's very hard to get everybody out in nature if they're all sitting and totally addicted to the technology. And so I see there being a very critical relationship between the EMF technology and the mind control. I don't know if you want to say anything about that.
I don't really. I'll give you one example, which has got nothing to do with mind control, but a little bit to do with surveillance. And it's quite scary. There was a school here in Australia. Everyone's on Wi-Fi now, and
right. And
all the schools have got laptops or tablets, and they're all active, and they're all in one little classroom together. And a predator was outside, tapped into the local Wi-Fi, and all the unencrypted files he was surveilling and picking up.
Right.
And he was using that intelligence
right. To
go about his horrendous business. There's a little example of existing technology that's being manipulated at a very local level that's just horrifying to me.
Right.
Now, if you take that with a fully connected city, the surveillance that's going to go on, the data that's going to be accumulated, the information that's going to be, the control files, as you call them, that's
right. Going
to be built up against everybody and used against us. It's just too scary to fathom.
Right. It's, you know, it's funny because I'm, if you look at the battles that are going on right now in Washington, we really have a battle on who controls the control files.
Mm.
And when you see the launch of 5G and the different industry fights, to a certain extent, you're fighting about who controls the control files.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we've tried to do at Solari for the last year is find books that help parents in particular understand the impact of this technology. And I did a book review on a book called Addiction by Design that talked about how online kind of technologies are used to get people hooked on gambling. And then we did one on... it was on sort of porn, because what I'm finding is online pornography is an epidemic which is exploding, and it's very much involved with the entrainment technology, I believe. And the same with online shopping. Mm-hmm. So part of the economics, when you get into the economics of what are the economics of 5G or virtual reality, you're talking about what are the technologies of getting into people's wallets through their minds in a much more intimate and powerful way. So it comes back again and again to finance and investment, because we're talking about creating addictions which make people money. So there's a new book that we just did a review on called Irresistible. And again, it's about how much time we're spending using these technologies and what it's doing to our minds and how it creates, basically it's a business to create addiction. And now you're talking about enormous ways to create addiction, you know, that we didn't exist 10 years ago.
Correct.
Right. So, anyway, lots of links, including the link I put up to the, you just mentioned Quincy Jones's daughter, but she did a wonderful video interview of
Olga Johnson, yeah.
Yeah, and that is also up in the link. So, we really made, Jason made an effort to provide an enormous amount of information, both in the subscriber links and the commentary links at Solari. And then there's tremendous information on EMF Warrior. So again, if you have questions, just hit *2. Any more questions for Jason? Aha, okay.
San Francisco.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Hi. I have a question for Jason. You mentioned magnetic field. And
mm-hmm.
I'm measuring with my little cornet meter over 430 milligauss in my bedroom. I cannot figure out where this is coming from. Can you talk a little on mitigating magnetic fields?
I can. If you're measuring 430 milligauss in your bedroom,
Yes.
If you've got a transformer or some big electrical station near your bedroom?
No, but I have two smart meters. I'm in an urban area, but I there's nothing right on the wall, or unless it's a neighbor's smart meter, but it shouldn't be because they're on opposite walls. I'm baffled.
Yeah, that's a really high reading to have in your bedroom. So there's no electrical equipment that could be giving off that reading. Sometimes I've found, you know, the hospital beds that actually you press a button and the back comes up, they can have really high magnetic fields.
No, I had an innerspring mattress. I got rid of it. I have a foam mattress now. Wondering if that was doing it. There's no television in here. My router's not in here. My electricity's turned off at night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then
so it's
really hard.
I'd better get somebody in to help me.
Yeah, or maybe just test with another meter just to confirm that there's not something not malfunctioning with the meter. Because if there's no really big electrical or mechanical source of electricity coming through, I have seen some occasions when you can turn the power off and the magnetic fields can still travel along a wire, the copper wire. So it could be coming from an industrial source via the wire into the house or via the gas line or via the water pipe. So it could be an external field coming into your house that way. But without being at the premises, it's impossible for me to tell.
Yes, but I think you've given me the information that I need to get professional help with this, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, Austin, Texas.
Great to be with you. Jason, I work on the second floor down from the roof, and on the roof is what looks like maybe six of those cell tower devices.
Have you got concrete slabs
between the floors of the apartment?
Concrete floors.
Okay, so the concrete is the number one material for blocking wireless signals, and that's because of the moisture inside the concrete absorbs the signals. So I don't like the idea of being so close to a cell tower, but I'd like you to either hire somebody or buy a meter yourself and just test what's going on. As a general rule, being that close to a cell tower is not a good thing. However, if you're under lots of level of concrete, you may be mitigating it without even knowing it. So I'd test before I did anything else. And if you've got high fields, the chances of removing that cell tower will be difficult. In Australia, the building owners get around $5,000 a month in revenue. And unfortunately, schools are putting them up everywhere as well because they want the revenue. So, yeah, I just test it and see. You may be lucky and the concrete may be shielding you, but I won't know unless I test.
If he's online all day in this environment, should he be wearing the glasses?
If he's on watching a computer screen all day? Yeah, I'd buy gaming glasses, which are like 20, 50% blue blocking.
Uh-huh.
Because it's too hard to read the screen with 100%.
Right.
And get some morning sun and get some... You're welcome.
Okay. Remember, if you want to ask a question, just press star 2. Star 2. Okay, Jason, tell us how we sign up for EMF Warriors.
EMFWarriors.com. Sign up to the newsletter. We send out a fortnightly newsletter summarizing what's going on around the world. In recent happenings, we feature a warrior that we like, their material in the newsletter, and we also have a featured video. We put in radio shows that I might be doing or Scott's doing or any other interesting thing. The library, you just go from the website to the library and watch the introduction video on how to use the library. It's always best to do that first. you have 2,000 pieces of information in about 30 different playlists. You could spend months there watching and reading and learning. Just type into the search bar your particular subject. For disease, for people who are suffering from diseases who want to look at managing their chronic illness in a different way, type in your disease and type in Dr. Jack Cruise in the search bar in whatever browser you're using, and then that'll take you direct to a link probably on his forum where they'll discuss how people have recovered from every different type of chronic disease using this natural approach of quantum biology,
right,
of reconnecting to nature and minimizing your artificial environment. Now, if you're sick, you'll need medicine, you'll need supplements, but the foundations of health are good natural light, full spectrum sunlight, water, good quality spring water, and grounding. That's the earthing, taking your feet and putting them in the sand or on the ground. That's the foundational secret to health that we've never been taught, that fixes nearly everything that's wrong with us. And it's so simple, so easy, and totally free. So I want people to do that as much as possible.
Well, for me, it's coming down to Sydney and hanging out on the beach with you.
Well, it shouldn't be that. You should be out to live in an environment where you can do it yourself.
So the other thing I want to suggest, because I found In the Dark to be very helpful to getting me to reorient sort of the flow of what I did and how I did it, and I still have some complimentary copies of In the Dark. So what I would encourage, if you've participated in the Soleri Report, if you will just send your mailing address and to Ask Catherine or customer service, we will send you a complimentary copy of In the Dark. And
if you get inundated, I'll send you another box.
Okay. So if you would like a copy of In the Dark, just let us know at Ask Catherine or customer service, and we will mail one out to you. And there's great suggestions, and I need to dip back in and always look at the list to get inspired. So before we close, anything you would like to add?
Not really. I'd just like to thank you and the work you do and everyone listening today. Everyone's got access to EMF Warriors. So any questions you can ask, you can send an email to hello@emfwarriors.com and we'll answer it. You can join the Facebook group. You can study on the library and just join in and help educate everybody else. It's our kids that we do this for. That's what motivated me, really, at my essence, is the children. And I just can't have a world go to complete chaos that's going into and see these kids be brought up in it. So we need to make a stand. You're doing a tremendous job, Catherine, and all the other guests you have on and all the Solari members. Let's all pitch in.
I really feel that if each one of us does what we need to do to protect our own minds and bodies, we can make a significant difference to ourselves and our families in this next 5 to 10 years. So I'd like to think that every Soleri Report subscriber will not be part of the Chuck E. Cheese brawl when it happens. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you've got one more chance to hit press 2 to ask any questions. If not, we wish you good hunting. Going once, going twice? No, I think that's it. Jason, thank you very much. Have a wonderful day, ladies and gentlemen.